Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
No one can doubt that education is essential for anyone to get ahead in life, but it's a nation or the Commonwealth's efforts doing a service or disservice to our students. Ever since President Bush signed No Child Left Behind, the talk has centered around testing to prove a child is proficient, testing to prove a teacher is doing the job he or she was hired to do. School districts have been told if their students aren't deemed proficient, it could negatively impact their money stream. Teachers have been told if their students don't do well on the test, it will negatively impact their job performance. Students have been told if you don't pass the big test, you will not graduate. This has led to testing burnout, teaching to the test, and even cheating by teachers. How does all this translate into Pennsylvania? The big test here for the past several years has been the PSSA, the Pennsylvania State System Assessment Test. But now Governor Corbett's new budget says something different. My guest today is Cheryl Boyce. She's with the Commonwealth Education Organization, or CEO, down in the Pittsburgh area. Thanks, Cheryl, for being with us.
You're welcome.
So testing, testing, testing. Whenever you read an article in the newspaper or online or hear a news story, it's almost always centered around testing. Is that good or bad?
Well, looking at everything recently and talking to parents, it's bad.
Okay.
Because it's not about the individual child. Children don't march to the same drum, or they're all very different. Mm-hmm. But the tests are trying to get the same results from all the children.
Yeah.
And there's more and more of it, because as we have No Child Left Behind, we also just got a grant for Race to the Top.
Oh, okay. Pennsylvania did get a grant for Race to the Top.
Yeah, the governor announced that on December 23rd, we received $41 million in a Race to the Grant, which involves the national standards, which involves testing that they're working on right now. And then you've got, you know, the PSSA, which we've been doing because mm-hmm. of No Child Left Behind. And then we have the new Keystone exams in the middle of this. So that's all you're seeing.
So that's
all anybody's seeing right now is testing, testing. Testing.
Right, exactly. And so we are, in fact, getting $41 million from the federal government because we won a spot in Race to the Top, basically.
Right.
Okay.
Second time around. First time we didn't, okay. Second time we did.
Yeah, I missed that second time around. Okay, so $41 million to basically bow down to the federal government and say, you tell us what to do, we'll do it, because you gave us the money.
Right.
Is that in a nutshell? Okay.
That is exactly it in a nutshell. We're saying now, we're taking the $41 million, and we're going to do the national standards, and we know that the federal government is working on national assessments mm-hmm. related to that, which would lead to national curriculum, and the bottom line is that's more testing that's out of the confines of the local control of the school district.
So that's out of the local confines of the school district. Is that what you said?
Does well, basically, mean? Yeah, because what the federal government has given contracts to two organizations, two groups, to develop assessments in correlation to the standards. And if you take the Race to the Top, you've committed to take the standards, which are national standards, not necessarily state standards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is local control completely dead in Pennsylvania?
It's getting close.
Okay.
It's getting close to
one.
Yeah, it's very close. And the question is, though, now that we've taken the Race to Top money, and mm-hmm. we don't know what this is going to cost us above $41 million to institute any of this, we're also spent $200 million on the Keystone exams.
You said $200
million. $1 million. I actually saw a copy of the contract. Governor Rendell signed it a couple years ago to start work on these tests. They're like graduation tests, final exams in certain subject areas that you must pass in order to graduate. And, yeah, the contract, I actually saw it, it said $200 million for tests that used to be written by teachers.
Yeah, and this was back in, I think, 2009 when Governor Rendell was pushing for the Keystones. That did go through the contract.
It's not only through. I looked on the PA State Board of Education mm-hmm. website today, which is linked through the Department of Ed, mm-hmm. and they're having hearings starting next week introducing and talking about the Keystone exam.
Wow.
Because they're going to be in Norristown and then Pittsburgh and then Harrisburg.
Okay, so around the state. Because I know there had been an effort in the legislature in 2009 to block that contract, but obviously that didn't happen.
it did not happen. So now if you go on the site, not only can you see the schedule of the meetings, but you're also going to be able to see the draft of the proposed revisions that relate to the Keystone exam.
Okay, so those Keystone exam hearings are going to be begin next week?
February 29th in Norristown, March 7th in Pittsburgh, and March 14th in Harrisburg.
Okay, March 7th in Pittsburgh. Of course, I'd be the closest to us. March 7th in Pittsburgh. Norristown was, when was it Norristown?
The 29th next week, February 29th.
Okay, February 29th.
And then they'll be in Harrisburg on March the 14th.
14th on in Harrisburg. You know, this is scary stuff. And when we're talking about, let me first read, I have a copy of a March 20th, 2011 CNN story. It tells of a state college area mom who opted her kids out of the test, which would be the PSSA. Now, this is the picture that the mom is portraying about the test. She said the tests are not accurate measures of accomplishment. They create undue anxiety for students and are used to punish schools. And she gives the example of her son's award-winning school, which is Park Forest Elementary there in the State College area, which last year, which would have been in 2010, was put on a warning status after the school's special education students fell below the level of progress the state expects on their exams. Does that portray the PSSAs and the impact on kids and schools?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only does it impact, having spoken to parents, they're actually in textbooks referencing the PSSA.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I had a parent call me, and she said she actually, because you don't see the textbook very often, because kids don't bring textbooks home. They're not encouraged to do that like they used to when we were
Because they're afraid the parents will look at them.
Yeah, and so this mom did get a chance, and she was beside herself because she said, since when in anything that we have in school should we be referencing the test?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there are high schools in the greater Pittsburgh area where when you have an eight-period day, and if you did not do well on the PSSA, one of your periods during the day is going to be PSSA prep.
Which means they're teaching to the test, specifically to that
right.
class period is taken to teach, so you do better on the test next round.
Absolutely, and I'm not only sure, I'm 110% positive it's happening, and they're actually teaching the kids. They're taking 45 minutes out of their day not to have the kids learn basic skills, but they're teaching them how to take this test.
Oh, wow. Now, this CNN article that I referenced, it had I don't remember the exact title, but it mentioned standardized test. And I think there's a big confusion between standardized tests and the PSSA. What's the difference between a standardized test and an assessment test?
Well, if you go back to many years ago when they used to have Metropolitan, it isn't that far, actually. The Metropolitan Achievement Test, the California test. What they really did is they looked at what kids should know in third grade.
Okay.
And they would tell you as a parent, you would get the scores, you would get the graphs, and they would say at the end of the third grade, your child is really mastered 6 months worth of material. It told you exactly where the child should be based on what they should have learned.
Right.
Now, you don't see that as a parent. You don't get that kind of information at all. Basically, you're just hearing your kid pass the test, and your school made AYP, and it's more about that test than what they actually learned during the course of that year. Did they acquire a whole year's worth of knowledge? And if they didn't, where are they at in the cycle? Because what the PSSA tells you is how they did on that specific test. And that's not about learning, and that's not about knowledge.
It's not. And you mentioned earlier that it kind of puts all the kids in the same, in a box, basically. And this example from State College is a perfect example. They're giving apparently the same test to special education students.
Well, they're supposed to, depending upon the degree of problems the student has, there is an alternative test. But again, it depends upon, in public schools, a lot of those kids don't have as profound learning problems. Like in some of the special schools, there is another test they can have, but again, they have to have more severe problems. So that does present an issue because not even special ed, just general education students, they're very diverse.
Exactly.
So, you know, even in that, does it tell us they're learning? What does it really tell us? Because tests are supposed to be a form of assessment of what they are supposed to have learned, but now we've made the test the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, and the entire school day is zeroing on passing that test.
And they practice now. They are practicing. These kids have started practicing and taking time out of the day, and I, again, spoke to a mother. And you find out a lot of things. Parents are paying attention. They're very concerned because more and more of this stuff is happening, and their kids are just overwhelmed and frustrated, and school's not fun anymore. And it's not about learning, or it's not about the kids. It's about this all of this process as opposed to children. But this particular mom was really, really, really concerned because she said, you know, why don't I ever get to see my children's test anymore? And the response from the teacher was, well, you don't get to see the results and so on because of the PSSA, so we just don't provide you with that information.
But President Obama has the answer. He wants to make it mandatory that all kids stay in school till they're 18. Yeah, and then the longer they're in school, the more they will come to love school, right?
Well, unfortunately, the kids that drop out for a lot of different reasons, and the reality is by forcing them to stay, that isn't going to happen. You're never going to be able to make them stay. You have to make them want to stay. Mm-hmm. All this testing and all of this is not making them want to stay, because the kids that are paddling upstream that are in the inner city and they're having other issues, this is not helping them at all.
No, not at all. It adds more pressure to them.
Well, they're going to tell you, though, with the Keystone exam, you get a sort of a three-strike-you're-out kind of thing. You can take the test twice, and then the third time around, you can do another form of assessment if you don't do well on the test. But let's face it, by the time you're hitting the third thing, these kids are frustrated.
Oh, to say the least. And also, some kids do not test well.
Exactly.
So when their entire school career is based upon a test score, they're not going to make it.
Right. And think about, if a Keystone exam is going to be the be-all, end-all, if you take an exam for Algebra 1, you have to pass that now to graduate. And you've got the three strikes, you're out kind
of
thing.
So everyone has to pass Algebra 1 exam. Well,
you have
I would
to.
Fail.
Yes. Yes, you have to pass it. And you do have that third criteria. If you take it twice and can't pass the test, then you can do an alternative assessment, which they're creating some kind of board, which I need to find out more about. And that's why I plan on attending the hearing in Pittsburgh, because they're creating some kind of board that will do the review of the alternative assessment, which I clearly don't know what the alternative assessment is going to be. But they're creating another level of bureaucracy that's going to oversee this project that their kids can do if they can't pass the test.
Okay. Now, one of those assessments is a writing test. Mm-hmm. Is that still, as far as you know, still going to be one of the assessments?
Not at the moment.
Okay, not at the moment.
Not at the moment. What they started out with, and they've been working on, first of all, was Algebra 1 and Language Arts. Now, I see from the updated information they have on their website, they've included social studies in the mix. They're going to start integrating social studies. So they're slowly introducing this.
One test at a time.
Basically, okay. They're phasing it in, yeah.
Okay. So basically, Governor Corbett, when he released his budget earlier this month, he's making a switch from the PSSA exam in high school to using the Keystone exam, which I thought had died in 2009, but you're telling me no, the contract went through.
No, it went through. And
Pennsylvania spent $200 million on the Keystone exams to get them ready, I guess, to be implemented.
Right, right. That they hired a firm to create the exam. The question we had, okay, we're running multiple parallel things here, okay? We're questioning, and we've questioned, and I haven't gotten any answers. I even contacted the Department of Education and didn't get a clarification. Think about what you're doing. You've got the PSSA, which will stay in place for the lower grades. You're going to introduce the Keystone exams. They went out and got a contract for the Keystone exams. Later on down the road, they started announcing they're going to do the Common Core standards in the state, which are the national standards, which is the race to the top. Okay, so we asked, all right, now you spent $200 million to do this Keystone exam, which happened before you announced you're going to do the standards. So does the Keystone exam reflect these Common Core standards, because the federal government are creating their own test around those standards? So what test are we going to do? And then, of course, they're now saying the Keystone exams, but according to the response that I got from the PA Department of Education, that this is how they said, for the moment, we're not using national assessments.
But they just got $41 million for the federal government
for the race
as part
to the top,
of Race to the Top.
Which means they have to do Common Core standards, which means does the Keystone exam reflect those standards?
That's a good question.
I can't get an answer.
And if it doesn't, we've just lost $200 million, or we're have to sink more
That's
money.
That's my question.
Yeah.
That's my question, because the Keystone exam came, if you look at chronologically, based on what we know, because you know, they do things behind closed doors
exactly.
that we never find out until later. But based on the time frame, they went and got the Keystone exam first, did the contract, and went ahead and started down that road. And then later on, they announced they were doing an analysis of our standards in the state that existed now and the Common Core National Standards, and they were looking at this. And now we're having these hearings again about the Keystone exam, and, of course, standards drive the exam.
Right.
So the question is, what are the standards? What are the standards that we're working with for this exam? The old ones or the ones
that are going to be mandated?
And if we spend $200 million in the Keystone exam and we do these standards because we took this race to the top money, does that mean later on down the road, when the federal government finally gets their act together on their assessment, does that now mean that we now have to take that assessment?
Are they wasting tax dollars?
Yes.
I'm shocked that Harrisburg would be wasting tax dollars.
Yes.
Because Governor Corbett's budget, he's allocated $15.4 million to implement Keystone exams. But you're saying that we don't know, they're not telling you whether the Keystone exams will be up to par, will be up to the standards that are going to be required through
right.
this grant they got through Race to the Top, the $41 million right. they got through Race to the Top.
Right. First of all, let me preface this and say, I'm not for national standards because that's federalization of the school system. That's taking away local control and state control. You know, I'm thinking, because the reaction I got when I started asking all these questions was from the Department of Education, well, parents want standards. And I said, what have you been testing to if you haven't been testing to standards and objectives all along?
Yeah.
You know, don't give me that. We want standards. We don't want federal standards. We don't want the education system removed further and further away from us.
From our local elected school board.
Right. Because the further you move it away from the student, the teacher in that classroom, and the family supporting that system, the more trouble we keep having, and they can't see this.
Yeah. Especially as taxpayers look at their tax bill each year.
Right.
And the amount of money they spent in school taxes. And with all this top-down mentality, you know, our money's going into supporting the local schools, but yet our local school, elected school board, has next to no say in what can happen in that school district.
It's getting more difficult. There's no debate. And when you think about the federal government only gives back to us 2% of our tax dollars to subsidize schools, but yet they are having more and more say in how we run them.
So
the state's decreasing that too. So
okay, 2%. Is that how much you're saying that the states get from Pennsylvania gets from federal government? Is that what you said?
That's the last I saw.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if anything's changed because budget issues change,
right,
and you know, and they decrease and whatever. But the last I was told, it's around 2%. So for 2%, and they always give you the startup money. They give you $41 million for Race to the Top. So we take that now and we commit to doing the standards, and then some states. I have actually looked at what's this going to cost them long term.
Yeah.
And they're figuring, I'm taking this grant now, but it's going to cost me more long term to implement this.
Yeah, because like you say, that startup money, and then once that startup money is through, they've spent it all, then they have to come up with the money to complete the process of implementation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
exactly.
And for the federal government to give the states 2%, I mean, look at Pennsylvania's education budget.
Right.
And of that, only 2% is from the federal government. Is that what
that's,
you're saying? Or
that, based on what I've seen recently and been told, that's about right. It's a small percentage.
That's just a drop in the bucket.
It really is. And also think about it, too, and people have to understand this. No matter where, because I've had people say to me, oh, it's terrible, the state's decreasing their budget for education spending. It's putting more burden on the local taxpayer. And I looked at the person saying that to me, and I said, I'm actually the local and state taxpayer. It's coming out of my pocket, whether it's the left or right pocket, no matter what.
That's a good way
to put it. It's our money, whether it comes from the federal government, state, or local. It's our money.
Yeah, it absolutely. And people forget that. Even the taxpayers forget that. I think we taxpayers forget that. We think there's some money tree, you know, in one of the gardens surrounding the Capitol building in Harrisburg, or, you know, the White House, I think, has a whole orchard of money trees in the Rose Garden or whatever. I think we taxpayers forget that all the money that government spends on all levels comes from us taxpayers. And we have to remember that.
That $200 million in that contract for the Keystone exam was our money.
Yeah, Absolutely.
And then when you can't get good answers, and you say to them, okay, you spent $200 million on a test that historically has been administered and written by the teacher in the classroom who's teaching Algebra 1 and develops a final exam to determine if the kids learn what they needed to learn that year, now you're saying you're going to spend $200 million to do that?
Yeah, just for that one, then the government gives us $41 million to implement for Race to the Top, and then another $15.4 million to implement Keystone exams and Corbett's budget. It gets, the numbers go very, very, you know, it gets to be a lot of money very, very quickly.
So, it really does.
You know, last year there was an effort to get a school choice bill passed.
Yes.
Very quickly, tell us, give us an update on that effort.
A lot of people thought that it was killed. It's not. They're being very quiet about it because you have to realize they were working on the budget and a lot of the legislators are up for re-election, but it is being worked on.
Okay.
I don't know the specifics of the bill. I do know that they are actually, they being the legislators, are the House and the Senate are working on this together, which is smart because they didn't do that the last time. So I'm anxiously awaiting and have not been able to find out if they finalized it. I was told probably not yet. They haven't finished the details. This was a priority of the governor, and he did push for that. There were some changes in the House Education Committee on those representatives on that committee, which could impact this time. So hopefully they learned a lot about what went wrong last year, and they know what they can do better to get this through now. So I'm anxiously awaiting the legislation to see actually what's in there.
So they're still working on it. And that's good because, you know, when we're talking about like failing schools in Philadelphia, and there's other failing schools in the Pittsburgh area, there's and you know, this one in State College was not up to par according to the federal government. So they're failing schools across the country, across the Commonwealth, and some are more, you know, some are worse than others, but this will at least give parents an opportunity to have some choice in where their child is educated.
And I think it's really important. I know my own community right now, they're trying to put in a charter school. We closed an elementary building and the community got together, some of the people in the community, and they went to a charter school and they're trying to get that charter school in. Because to be perfectly frank, I hear the frustration in parents' voices.
Yeah.
You have so many tangled webs of bureaucracy and government coming into our school right now, more than I've ever seen in a very long time. And it's been bad for a while, but it's getting worse. And they want out. They want to get back to basics. They want to be able to talk to their teacher. They want to be able to see how their children are doing. They don't like, there's too many parents. I just had spoken to a parent for the last 2 years, and last week she just pulled her child out of the public school.
Yeah.
She had it.
That's
She's
true.
Homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
She's done. So, I mean, people may not feel comfortable with homeschooling, but they want other choices because they're paying very close attention and they realize they can't fix this right now for their child.
It's broken and
it's
beyond.
It's broken. It's getting more complicated. A lot has to be done to fix it. Mm-hmm. So they want out while their child is still in the middle of this system.
Right, right.
They want to give them another option.
Well, it's good that parents are paying attention. And give us your website so folks can go to your website and get more information on this issue and other issues you guys are dealing with.
Okay, it's www.ceopa.org.
Okay, ceopa.org.
Yeah.
Of course, that's Commonwealth Education Organization.
Commonwealth Education Organization.
Yeah, and ceopa.org, and there's contact information there, how they can contact you.
There is contact information. If anybody has a question, they don't want to call, they can send in a question to us, and we can give them the answer back, or we can direct them to wherever they need to be directed.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, Cheryl, keep up the good work. This whole education thing is just mind-boggling. It's frustrating, and I share in the parents' frustration. So,
okay.
CEO,
thank you so much.
CEOPA.org, and you take care of them.
Thank you.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.